Jim Taylor back on the RFD Radio Network. Time for our weekly IHSA segment on Town and Country Partners. Visiting with Matt Troha with the IHSA. This summer, they've announced a new TV agreement, and this involves Quincy Media along with the NFHS Network. And take it away, Matt Troha. I guess long story short here is some stability for watching the state tournament series in boys and girls basketball, in football, and I guess the question always begs, I'll be able to explain to my mother what channel she can get the state tournament games on, right?
Yes, that's ultimately always the goal. It's a deal that we're excited about. We're stepping away from NBC Sports Chicago, who was an amazing partner and really stepped up in a time when we were kind of struggling with some of our TV distribution. But as the way we consume television has that's changed over the last few years, we've heard from a lot of our fans and schools and folks around the state that they've had more difficulty finding the game. So we're very excited about to go back to over the air stations, free over the air stations, and really get all these markets within Illinois back into the mix and some new markets as well. So we think that, overall, a lot more people are going to have the opportunity to view the games.
And the confusion that came in with your arrangement with NBC Sports Chicago, because you're talking about, late October for the IHSA high school football playoff pairings, and then late November for football, and then you're talking about February, March for basketball, and that collides with whether it be Chicago Bulls basketball, Chicago Blackhawks hockey, and therein lies the problem of it's going to get pushed to what they call NBC Sports Chicago Plus, trying to find out where the games are. That was one of the big confusing parts of it, I assume.
Yeah, I think that's always a piece, and that's a difficult part to television's very confusing, and that's nobody in our office is a television guru, so we work through these things the best that we can, like you said, I've been in those same situations where my dad's asking me what channel is it going to be on, and I'm saying I think it's going to be on 665, but maybe 665.1.
And then everybody's like, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. So that becomes an issue, and there'll be some times where some of these stations are going to have the games on dot twos, but I think just by being over the air, it's going to be, it's going to make things a lot easier and allow a lot more people to watch it. And one of the other concerns we heard was that, the Chicago Cubs are leaving NBC Sports Chicago. They're starting their own network, and I think there was some concern that there's some smaller cable outlets in parts of this state that that may maybe not carry that station now because, maybe one of the reasons, the sole reason they have it is because of a big Chicago Cub fan base. That had a potential to complicate things more. And we were just, the timing ended up being really good that Ralph Oakley, the CEO of Quincy, he really made this happen because we've had this arrangement before where we've gone sort of market by market throughout the state and tried to find an over-the-air solution in each of those. The temperature was different from market to market about who wanted it or if anybody wanted it. And Ralph just really kind of pulled this whole thing together. Obviously, Quincy Media has, several stations in markets throughout Illinois. But they did the legwork and found stations that were excited to carry the games in the markets where they don't own stations. So Ralph, he kind of deflects some of the credit here, but he deserves a lot of it. He's a passionate high school sports fan. Understands how important it is to our state, the deep roots, and he made it happen, and we're excited to work with him and Quincy Media moving forward.
And I know you shed some light on it. TV has changed so drastically from when I was a kid growing up in the 70s to now. So I'm 52, but all joking aside, you'd always say, well, where Art Kimball was on Channel 8 in the Quad Cities, where you could find the state tournament games. And so now with this agreement with Quincy Media, their station, so basically you're talking about all pockets of the state. Now they own WSIL in Harrisburg, WGEM in Quincy, and then WEEK or WEEK in Peoria, and then WREX in Rockford. and then their arrangements with Champaign-Springfield Market, WCIX, and then in the Quad City Market, KGCW, and in Chicago, they have the arrangement with Weigel Broadcasting, WMEU. So you cover, you got all pockets. I mean, that was probably the big concern, is you want to make sure everyone in the state from Cairo to Galena can see the games.
Right, and that was, you know, one of the big concerns is we'd really struggled in that Southern Illinois pocket. SIL had been on board years ago, but had struggled to get them to come back and for them to be able to kind of clear the space to broadcast it. And we certainly heard from constituents in Southern Illinois about that. And really the last remaining pocket on here is the St. Louis market. And that's something that we're working to address and hopefully will be easier to address. NBC Sports Chicago, due to pro sports contracts and their law, because there was Fox Sports Midwest down there, they couldn't really have a presence in St. Louis. So that was a difficult workaround. But, you know, Ralph and his group are confident. We have some small cable stations in St. Louis that carry it, and we're pretty confident that we're going to be able to add some more coverage to that area. And, you know, that'll hopefully will be well received. The Metro East had a great year last year in our tournaments between East St. Louis and Belleville West winning basketball state championships. So we want to make sure the folks in St. Louis don't get overlooked either.
This is a three-year arrangement, so the stability, you like that. So it starts this school year, and it runs through the 2021-2022 school year. So you have some teeth and some longevity to the agreement.
Absolutely, and at the same time, you know, like we said, things have changed so quickly in a decade, and they recognize that could happen. They could own more stations here in the state by that time, so it's 3 years is good, too, in that regard, that I think that we have the ability to look at things and see if we can improve in a short period of time here.
All right. I'll bet the question begs, though, to me, and I attend most of the football stuff and most of the basketball stuff. I like the stability with the new arrangement, making sure all parts of the state are represented, talking about basketball, boys and girls, and football with the state championship games, and then the playoff pairing shows, which has really become a big production. A lot of people ask me, they say, Taylor, why not? Why don't they have the IHSA state baseball on TV? Why don't they have IHSA softball, the individual state wrestling finals? What else am I forgetting? Volleyball state finals. You know, living in the Quad City area, you know, it's interesting how the arrangement works with Iowa. They have some of their stuff on public television and then some of it on commercial television. So, Matt Troha, why – and I'm sure the IHSA would say we'd love to have those other state tournament series on over-the-air television, as you call it. I'd even like to be doing the boat reports at Carlisle Lake at the IHSA state bass fishing finals. So what about examining that, or is that ever a possibility down the road?
Those discussions have occurred as we went through this process here this year. It's something I think we'll continue to look at. There are some difficulties. Each thing presents, you know, sort of their own unique challenges. Volleyball is one where we bring all four classes in one weekend, so you pretty much go from sun up to sundown, and you know, that can be difficult for a TV station in some regards to clear their day and say, you know, we're not going to have our local news or whatever other maybe local program they have. There is a cost expense to it. And one of the big misperceptions is that people see these TV contracts from ESPN for college football and for the NFL and billions of dollars that are being exchanged. And I can assure you we are not in that boat. We'd love to be in that boat. And if we were, then, yeah, I think everything would be on TV somehow. But high school is a very different game.
Do you get asked about that a lot with the other sports over-the-air TV?
You know, we do get a little bit of that. You know, we've done some tape delay stuff with that as well. The question comes up. It comes up sometimes. But I think this arrangement gives us more potential to possibly do it. But again, television is a very expensive proposition. You know, we don't have that funding that, that college and pros get from those contracts. You know, it would, there's some things that would have to happen to make it happen. We're very lucky. Country Financial is our longtime and biggest supporter. And, you know, they sort of made a commitment as a part of their commitment to us that they said, having, you know, there's such a history in our state with the boys basketball turnaround TV. And that was one of the things when we started our partnership with them or continued our partnership. They said, we want to keep these events on TV in the state. We want to keep that tradition going. So basketball and football are largely supported by Country. You know, they help get those programs and to continue to stay on the air. You know, we'd have to look into some other options, I think, to get some more shows on TV, or especially to get them on TV live.
Yeah, I know I was doing an interview with Jack Sikma earlier this year, and he's getting inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in, I think it's in September. And I think one of the most iconic photos ever in interscholastic athletics, Scott Johnson sent me the archive photo, and I know we're going to piece something together here in September when he's inducted, because he grew up in, well, they call him the Wichert Wonder, and he still says that will turn his head when people call him that more than a Basketball Hall of Famer. That rings more true to him. And it's the photo of him the reporter standing on the DeKalb seed bucket, 5-gallon bucket, interviewing Sikma. That reminds me of the 1970s at the Taylor Homestead watching the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these tournaments need to be on TV.
I agree. And certainly one you experienced, the Carson Frakes.
Yeah.
You know, shot like that, I think it exposes a whole new, hopefully, audience to the excitement and to the fun and just the history of the tournament.
All right. So as we segue here quickly, some dates are coming up with state basketball venue site. That's coming up. A decision will be made on that. The proposals are soon to be accepted, right?
And yeah, actually, we just posted the bids, I believe, on our website yesterday. January deadline for those. January 10th deadline for those to get into us, and then we'll make some site visits and hopefully have an announcement by the end of the spring or early summer.
That announcement would be in 2020 sometime then, right?
Yeah, that'd be correct. Yep, sometime, I would say late this school year is our hope.
And maybe you can't elaborate too much on this. Still the possibility, though, because you're having one state tournament for the boys, four classes, one weekend. The weekend before is the girls, all four classes. Is there still the potential for the girls and boys to be at the same venue separated by that week?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things we put on there is that, venues are welcome to bid on one tournament or both tournaments. We would certainly entertain having them in the same spot or in different spots as they've been.
So January 10th of 2020 is the deadline, and then shortly thereafter, the IHSA will make an announcement. The other thing why we have you here, a lot of back and forth currently or proceeding toward district scheduling in football in 2021, but as we speak right now, we don't know if counter proposals are coming to the IHSA office. They probably will if you believe all the radio traffic you hear about it, radio noise, I should say. And I think those proposals to be considered, is it September 15th? Did you tell me off the air somewhere around there?
October. Mid-October, yep.
And then those bylaw amendment proposals are posted, and then following that, they have the town hall meetings in November. Is that right?
Right, in November.
And then they get back together, the legislative commission, and they determine
what goes to the ballot. Yeah, and then they vote. And voting was done as early as it's ever been last year. I think we were done before January 1. So it was like the last couple weeks in December they did the voting, and those results would then be out. And that's going to be an interesting process. We are certainly expecting from, like you said, just the chatter we've heard, that there'll be some counter proposals to reverse that. And I don't know what's going to happen. So it's going to be interesting from my perspective, just as it will be for coaches and administrators around the state.
Yeah, so it's interesting because the uncertainty with that scheduling for athletic mm-hmm. directors in regards to football. Well, what do I do for 2021 if I'm in a 8-team conference right now where I have to schedule 2 non-conference games or 2 crossovers, or I think we're going to district and I'm going to have to worry about a couple of district games. There's a lot to in play
here.
I agree.
Yeah, and I'm guessing some are reaching out and saying, hey, let's, no matter what happens here, let's either play a non-district game or we'll play a non-conference game. But in some cases, you know, that might be a conference team that won't be a conference team in district. So, you're right. The schools need to know. It's going to be an interesting process, and hopefully whatever happens this fall, we just decide we're going to stick it through and at least let it play out.
All right. As we wrap up, too, I know I talked to Scott Johnson a couple of weeks ago. The National Federation of State High School Associations, they were celebrating 100 years, all thanks to basically work done in Illinois, right? I mean, that's where organized high school sports began in this state of Illinois.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement.
So I know the Scott Johnson has the book with H.V. Porter, and I always forget the other initials.
CWA.
It's always initials. And it's a great story for me because both of their roots began in very rural, small towns. I think Witten was over in Stark County.
Mm-hmm.
And then Porter, portion of his legacy was established in Keysburg. So.
Right.
And Johnson does the great books. I love the books that he does because he did the book on the association. And then I visited Knightstown, Indiana this year, the home of the fictional Hickory High story in Hoosiers. And I didn't realize Johnson told me that I think one of the Judson brothers still contends that story at Hickory is really based on Hebron and not based on Milan, Indiana.
I didn't realize
he said
that
because he goes, because I said there's a lot of similarity with the H. And when I took the tour of Knightstown, the guy said there's only 17 seconds of the movie that really accurately portrays the Milan story, and that was the final shot that Bobby Plump or Jimmy Chitwood's character made. So
that's interesting.
I tell you, man, Scott Johnson has a lot of information. That dude, man, is a great resource. Well, we always appreciate the visit, Matt Troha. And again, all kinds of information. I tell member schools, I tell fans, IHSA.org, if you have a question about something, bylaws, your sport, your calendar, whatever, you find it there, IHSA.org. That's a great resource for all of our member schools. Thanks for visiting with us today. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Yeah, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Matt Troha with us.